Hey guys, welcome to the Modern Vinyl Random Pool Podcast, episode number 4. This is the Bob Dylan album, Oh Mercy, which was chosen by Matt Pfeffercorn, who joined me in the talk, as well as Lee Matthew. I'm Alan Miller, and I'm a writer for Modern Vinyl. I just got done tuning up this guitar ukulele thing, so I think I'm going to try to do some kind of musical intro for these things and do like a different instrumental intro every time. So just kind of on the fly. Here's the first one. Let me try that again. That's okay. Yeah, that's not too bad. We'll do that for the first one. Okay, so put that away. That's enough of that. So about the talk that we had for this album, we spent the first bit talking about like the production and things like that, and it's a pretty solid talk. This was actually later in the evening when we'd already been talking about a couple other albums, so we'd had a few beers in us, and I was starting to get a little ornery, as we say in the South, so I kind of cut this up a little bit because for whatever reason I was taking offense to the fact that the album production had been called Shimmery. But I don't know what that was all about. I just cut the rest of that bit out. But we talked about this album. We also talked about the latest Bob Dylan themed record tribute thing that was the New Basement Tapes, is what they called it, where T-Bone Burnett put together a group of musicians and they took some old Bob Dylan lyrics that had never been made into songs. They were just lyrics on paper. And they each took a shot at trying to write a song with them. And it was really interesting. And I think me and Lee both, I don't think Matt had seen it. Me and Lee both really enjoyed the documentary about it. So we talked about that a bit as well. All in all, I think it's a really good talk and I hope you enjoy it.
We live in a political world. Icicles hanging down. Wedding bells ringing, angels singing, clouds cover up the ground.
But yeah, see, that's the thing. Now we're back to the 80s.
All right.
Which is as good as transition as any.
Mercy.
We lose
let's
it with.
Let's talk about Dylan, produced by Daniel Anwa. I did not fucking know that.
You
no
didn't
wonder
know
it's
that?
So good.
Yeah,
yeah
no,
exactly.
Well, no wonder it's so shimmery.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. He does. He's got that shimmer, doesn't he? Yeah.
Well, and he's coming off the Unforgettable Fire, the Joshua Tree, pretty much anything.
Let's just say Daniel Anwa was the fucking badass of the 80s.
He really was. Yeah.
And it's a shame nobody in the States really knows.
Well,
like his,
and he put out a solo album soon after that, which was incredible.
Is it
one? No, it was even before that.
Before Winona?
There was one before that.
Okay.
Yeah. It had a song called Deep Water on it that was covered by Emmylou Harris.
For the Beauty of Winona. That's the name of that album he did, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So good.
It's great.
I hated that. See, he's Canadian. And he got fairly big in Canada, but he never broke through here with his album.
No.
He just produced people here.
Yeah. Kind of like T-Bone Burnett.
Exactly like T-Bone Burnett.
Yep.
But I love Daniel Anwa.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
Oh, man. He knows how to get the most out of a band or artist and make them deliver their best material.
For sure.
Or at least at the time.
So Bob Dylan, Oh Mercy, which has questionable cover art. I don't know.
Actually, what is that? That's a mural somewhere
it's two
in
people,
New York.
It looks like they're dancing.
Yeah.
Maybe jazz swing dancing. Maybe?
I got on the Wikipedia page for this record like today or yesterday. And yeah, it's just some restaurant, I think in New York that he walked outside and saw it. I was like, I want that to be the cover. And so they had the dude who did it lived a couple of blocks away and they tracked him down and got permission to use it.
I mean, I think we could say it's probably his best cover art of his 80s releases.
I mean, it's his
it
best.
Sure beats Shot of Love.
Yeah.
It beats.
What about Knocked Out Loaded?
It was Knocked Out. What is
it? It's got the lady with the big pot that she's throwing at a dude's head.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. What was the one, Infidels? That's the one that's really bad, right?
Infidels.
No, Empire Burlesque.
Empire
that's the one
Burlesque.
That looks like somebody just didn't even care.
Right.
Like nobody cared what it looked like. They're like, this album's gonna suck shit anyways. We'll just throw whatever.
Wait, Empire Burlesque had some redeeming qualities. We need to do a podcast on Dylan 80s albums.
Okay, we could. It'll be short, but we could.
No, I'd draw that shit out.
All right, so Oh Mercy is 1989. Did you buy it new?
Yes.
Did you buy it new when it came out?
Yeah. Actually, at the time I was working at Record Bar, and 2 weeks before it even came out, we got a promo cassette of it.
Whoa.
Which I still have.
Nice.
Shocker.
On the promo, what was it? Was it the full album?
It was a full album.
Okay.
Yeah. And the J card didn't have the cover art. All it said was Bob Dylan, Oh Mercy. And that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the single on this? Was there a single from it?
Everything Is Broken, I think,
yeah.
was a single,
mm-hmm.
which to me might be the weakest tune on it.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads.
Here's the thing. So you told me we were going to do this album because this was your pick. So I put it in Spotify. When we got to Everything Is Broken, I'm like, shit, I know this
I've
song.
I've heard this tune.
What is this? I know this. I know
fucking
there's some
Kenny
like
Wayne
weird
Shepherd.
Guy singing it with like a, you know, false ZZ Top type type vocal to it. Yeah, Kenny Wayne Shepherd. That's where I knew it from. And he had a pretty good hit with that, right? Like, it was pretty big.
Oh, yeah. It was big. Or, I mean, as big as it could be.
As big as Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
96.
Because we live in the South, so anything Kenny Wayne Shepherd's going to be
pretty
big. That's right in the wheelhouse of the locals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's probably where I remember it from. But I actually remembered, well, I told you when you first told me about this album, most of the time, which I always think is on Time Out of Mind for some reason.
Well,
and I don't know why I think it's on there, but I always think it's on that album.
It probably could be on that album.
Mm-hmm. It feels more like Time Out of Mind. Like, it's slower. The thing I really like about it is I love the production on it. Daniel Lanois is a fucking genius with this.
Yes.
He put that slap back on that snare.
Uh-huh.
Every time the snare hits, it double hits. I love that so much. It's like that tiny detail that makes that song, because it's the fucking saddest song. So sad.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty much saying, like, I don't think about you ever most of the time. Like,
right.
Which implicates that he does think about this person quite often.
All the time.
But that fucking snare, every time it hits him, does that slap back. It helps the emotion of it.
Most of the time, I'm clear focused all around. Most of the time, I can keep both feet on the ground. I can follow the path. I can read the sign. Stay right with it.
Yeah, and that's all part of his brilliant way of recording. And he put the band together, basically. Daniel did. You know, Bob.
So who made up the band? Do you remember? Like the guys that were in the band?
I can tell you.
Yeah, I looked at it the other night, but it's nobody from his touring band at the time.
And honestly, it's not.
So Daniel Lanois did the guitar part on most of the time.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about how good the guitar is on it.
Right.
It's very simple, but it makes all the difference.
But it's
in how
everything.
It flows.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel played on most of these songs. He played on just about every song.
But if I remember, it was recorded in New Orleans at
Exactly. Cyril Neville.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cyril Neville's on percussion from Political World.
Yeah.
One of
so
the
you got
brothers.
Some Nevilles, and I think maybe Art was on there somewhere.
Let's see.
As well, but everything about that
Alton
album.
Reuben.
Yeah.
You know, my theory is every 10 years, Dylan puts out, you know, a Blood on the Tracks.
Yeah.
And that was 89, and Time Out of Mind was 99.
Oh, really?
In 2009 was Modern Times, which Modern Times was a great
it was a record,
album.
Yeah.
It was a good record.
Yeah.
With this one, there was a comment on, I don't remember what it was, like probably even just Wikipedia, where they noted like, Bill Wyman from the Stones, he hates this record. He hated it, and he hated Paul.
Well, he can eat a dick then, because it's a good record.
he hated, I don't know why I said Paul, he hated Daniel. He blames Daniel for this being a bad record because it's like, why, like, who would ever put all this shimmery fucking production on a Bob Dylan song. Like, Bob Dylan is supposed to be warm. Yeah. And,
but it is.
I don't know.
It goes with the lyrics.
Yeah, I think so,
it's
too.
It's a perfect
match. It feels
match.
Right for the album. Certain Dylan albums, you can be like, this is way overproduced.
Yeah.
And like,
oh,
my
yeah.
God, what the hell were they thinking?
He had songs that he brought, but he was constantly going out and rewriting and coming back in and cutting tracks. And there's so many outtakes.
See, yeah, actually, I meant to go look that up.
There's a ton of, two discs of outtakes from this.
Yeah, a lot of the outtakes on this one were really, really killer. What was the one? Series of Dreams.
Yeah,
Series of Dreams
was written.
Incredible.
But it didn't fit. Mm-mm, if you listen to Series of Dreams, any demo version or whatever outtake, it doesn't fit on this album. This album, from top to bottom, flows as well as, any Dylan album.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Man in the Long Black Cloak is a killer song. I think Dylan compared that to his... it was one of the really killer Johnny Cash songs. It's a great record, man.
At the time, were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
At the time, this coming out, and then I saw him probably 3 or 4 times on this touring for this album, I guess technically the Never Ending Tour. I don't know if he really tours on any album.
Yeah.
But he was playing a lot of these tunes. And then the following years after it, to see how they developed was just amazing. I mean, seeing him do Shooting Star at the piano, I mean, that's a great tune. That's like most of the time, though. I mean, it's, from top to bottom, Political World, the lyrics on that.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's as good as anything he wrote in the 60s or 70s, in my opinion.
Right. It's edgy.
I mean, to me, this album is really sad. Like, it feels like feels like he's going through shit on these lyrics. Like, the majority of this album just feels like he's going through some kind of shit. Like, whether it be political, whether it be personal, whether it be girlfriends, whatever. It just feels like he's going through some shit and he's just got to get it out.
And that seems to be where Dylan shines.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Blood on the Tracks.
Blood on the Tracks, exactly. It's like the break.
Blonde on Blonde.
Fucking Positively 4th Street, which is one of the best songs he ever wrote, which is pretty much, I'm going through shit and I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to call you out on it. Like, that's his thing.
The funny thing is, a lot of the critical reaction to this one, from what I found looking at it online, was kind of like how this one wasn't autobiographical enough, which he's like, it is. I mean, Dylan's never written anything.
Let's be honest,
though,
who really knows
exactly
what his life is like?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. That's the biggest thing.
He's so mysterious with his personal life. Nobody knows what his personal life is like.
And every single song, that's why I default to the assumption that every single song is completely autobiographical, and he's just finding some, maybe silly way of explaining that or making the metaphor. Even like what's the one on Blood on the Tracks? The Queen of Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
That was just like 9 minutes of all the just gambling analogies. But it's not about any of that bullshit. It's about his life and this divorce that he's going through. But he'll damn if he can't find the silliest way to explain it to you.
I mean, since we're on the topic of Dylan, it's probably time appropriate to bring up the Lost Basement Tapes. Was it called Lost Basement Tapes?
The New Basement Tapes.
The New Basement Tapes. Yeah, that's what it was called.
Okay, so
that's what I was talking about.
So you're talking about
the
super group.
Yes.
Okay.
So what's your opinion on it, Lee? You've listened to it, right?
I have listened to it. My girlfriend's parents actually got it for me for Christmas.
Uh-oh.
They love it, and here's the thing. The Marcus Mumford thing alone for me kind of shits all over it. Like, let's just face it, man. I fucking hate that guy.
Elvis doesn't save it.
But that's the thing. Elvis Costello is really rad. Jim James is really rad. I actually
from Dawes. What's his name? Taylor.
I go back and forth on Dawes. I think that they
Dawes gets an extension on their career.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, man, if they haven't ruined something
so harsh.
That started
sorry
man, they're really kind of silly and kind of paper thin as a band. Like, they've had some really great songs, but Dawes, I don't know, man. There's, you see through it like paper, you know what I mean? And I feel
it's
like...
it's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
It's fair.
I don't know, man. I watched like 20 minutes of one of the episodes of the series that they made about the making of the new Basement Tapes.
I think they just did one big doc on it.
Oh, really?
They?
Was yeah. it one? Okay, that makes sense. I watched about 20 minutes of that, and it was actually, that surprised me at how kind of entertained I was. I thought, I don't...
That's good that, because that's what I want to talk about, that you since you've seen some of that. Because I watched, yeah, I watched the full documentary.
Because I thought it was interesting. I feel bad. I don't know really the girl.
Carolina Chocolate Drops. Yeah. Can't remember her first name.
I can't think of it either. And truth be told, before this, I didn't know Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which they're great.
That's the real deal.
The whole thing about the new Basement Tapes, they introduced me Carolina Chocolate Drops, and that's probably what I'll be thankful for the most about
it. And that's a band that after you go back and listen to them, you're like, why the hell aren't they more popular?
Why aren't they more popular than Dawes? Is the biggest question. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So my thing is, I've seen the full doc that you're talking about, and I think it's called Lost in the River, I believe is the name of the doc. Or Lost on the River.
Oh, yeah, because that's the single. Yeah.
Right. I think as a musician, fellow musician, I think every musician should watch that doc.
I agree.
Because I think that I don't know if I've seen a better doc dissect how hard it is to be a musician and to like come up with something from nothing.
Yeah, particularly.
Because what they do, they've got stacks. Because you've not seen that yet, right?
I haven't seen it.
So they have stacks of lyrics. And T-Bone's like, come up with something, you come up with something. And like, they literally have so long to come up with something. That's their constraint. They have a time constraint.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say before I can tell?
Yeah, particularly like in that setting of being in the studio, you know, I feel fortunate. I don't think I've ever really been in that position of like, you better get me a record quick, boy. Yeah. Like, you know,
get to writing.
Yeah, luckily I've...
Or else,
yeah. I've never really felt that pressure, but to watch people work under that pressure was really interesting.
I love seeing the vulnerability of people. Even Marcus Mumford, who you think is like...
should be, yeah.
This guy has like... I mean, all you gotta do, Marcus, is put love twice in a song and you've got it, because every fucking song has a stone in love.
Love
those
and,
two things.
And hands.
Hands.
He talks about our hands in every record.
So you grab Dylan's lyrics... Put hands and love in there if it's not already there, and you got it. You got a hit.
You got a hit, boy.
But watching him struggle with it. I think, you know what? I think Kansas City is a fantastic song that he did.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like a Mumford & Sons song.
It doesn't.
It's got odd changes. It's got odd timing. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a fantastic job on it. And watching him be so unsure in front of all these other musicians.
Was the first thing that ever made me feel even like
it was so refreshing.
This good about him.
But then on the flip side of that, seeing the girl from Carolina Chocolate Drops be so unsure of herself made me so heartbroken because she's so fantastic.
And that was the
but
one
she
thing,
doesn't understand it.
Yeah, I did end up going to listen to that band. And by all means, it's like I said, I didn't watch the full thing. I was in a hotel room in Orlando actually waiting for my girlfriend and a couple of friends to show up for the show that we were about to play. And so once they showed up, that was the end of me watching the documentary. But of what I did get was actually mostly her part, without the context, really seemed kind of like whiny. I'm not going to lie. It's just like, oh, well, the atmosphere is just not right in here. And and on one hand, there's part of me where it's just like, just record your fucking part. Just go and do it. Like, you don't have to do that. But on the other hand,
it's the pressure, man. These
I
are
do,
fucking Bob Dylan's
yeah,
lyrics.
Yeah, I do understand.
It's not like fucking David Coverdale's lyrics. These are fucking Bob Dylan's lyrics.
These are Bob Dylan's lyrics, yeah.
That were written at Big Pink.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, goddamn.
It's
what
pretty
kind
incredible.
Of pressure is
Holy
that?
Grail.
It is.
Yeah.
It's fucking Indiana Jones open the shit, your fucking face melt off is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And you have limited amount of time. Do it.
And not only that, they were all writing music to the same lyrics a lot of times. Like Lost on the River, they all had a try at it, which I think hers was actually the best, even though it didn't get cut.
It didn't get cut, yeah.
But the thing, and that's even more, you're fucking sitting next to Elvis Costello trying to show him what you wrote as opposed to what he wrote.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting next to the guy that fucking wrote Oliver's Army, and you're fucking trying to show him what you wrote.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what kind of pressure? If the fucking Angels want to wear my red shoes, you're going to tell him how to write a song, you know?
Dude, I mean, Jim James, like,
Well, he just said, throw some reverb, put some fucking space echo, and let's go to town. Yeah,
I didn't see... I should go back and watch the whole thing, because I didn't see nearly enough Jim James in what I watched. And honestly,
Jim James.
Hey, man, that record was really good. Do you have that one?
I know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Seen a shooting star tonight, and I thought of you. You're trying to break into another world, the world I never knew. I always kind of wondered if you ever made it through.